I believe when the Lord saves us, He not only does something for us, but I believe He also does something in us. I believe it's God that worketh in us both to will and to do of His own good pleasure. And so when He saves us, He works in us also. And so one thing He does in us is that He makes us sensitive to the leadership of the Holy Spirit. And so we just want to look here in the Bible tonight and notice a few Bible characters that the Lord saved, and after He saved them, He had something for them to do. And so when the Lord saves us, He doesn't save us and then just put us on the shelf and doesn't expect us to do anything. I believe He does expect us to live for Him and serve Him and honor and glorify Him. And so we want to look here in the book of Acts, and we see the example here of Lydia in Acts chapter 16. Acts chapter 16, and we'd like to begin reading in verse 12. And from thence to Philippi, which is the chief city of that part of Macedonia and a colony, and we were in that city abiding certain days, and on the Sabbath we went out of the city by a riverside where prayer was wont to be made, and we sat down and spake unto the women which resorted thither. And a certain woman named Lydia, a seller of purple of the city of Thyatira, which worshiped God, heard us, whose heart the Lord opened. Whose heart the Lord opened. Underline that, or highlight it. That she attended unto the things which were spoken of Paul. And when she was baptized, her and her household. Now, immediately after she was saved by the grace of God, there was something that she did. She followed the Lord in baptism. And so she attended unto the things which were spoken of Paul. And I believe that's another evidence of salvation, that we will attend unto the things of God. Immediately after I was saved, I had a desire to want to learn. I desired to read the Bible. And I wanted to know more about what the Lord would have me to do. And when she was baptized, and her household, was saved the same way that she was. Her household wasn't saved just because she was saved. And a lot of people want to teach that out of this household salvation. But if the household was saved, they were saved the very same way she was. They also attended unto the Word of God and heard the Word of God, and the Lord also opened their hearts. And she besought us, saying, if ye have judged me to be faithful to the Lord, come into my house and abide there. And she constrained us. And so we hear this expression often: open up your heart to Jesus. Open up your heart and let Jesus come in. Now we hear that. I've heard that expression all my life. From the time I was big enough to go to Sunday school, I've heard Sunday school teachers, I've heard preachers make that statement: open up your heart and let Jesus come in. Or open your heart to Jesus. First of all, you don't have the key to open up your heart. Also, if you can open up your heart, you can also shut it. Isn't that right? And so,
all of us that are saved by the grace of God was made willing in the day of His power. Just like she was. She was at a particular place, at a particular time, and a particular preacher was preaching, and he was preaching a particular message, and she was saved by the grace of God. The Lord took the Word of God, opened up her heart to where she could understand what was said. And you've got to, the Holy Spirit has got to do that. You're not going to understand anything about the new birth until your heart is opened. And when the Lord opens your heart, then you can attend unto the things that's spoken, just like she was. And I believe that's very important today for people to hear and for people to know. And so I believe the Lord directs His men where He wants them to go, just like He did here with the Apostle Paul. And you don't go wrong when you're led by the Holy Spirit. And so Lydia was the directive work of the Lord, the Holy Spirit. She was the result of the eternal planning of God. And you were too. You're saved by the grace of God. I believe with all of my heart that when the Lord Jesus Christ went to the cross of Calvary, He knew every one that He was going to die for. When He went to the cross of Calvary, I was in His heart and I was in His mind when He went to the cross of Calvary. And in time, He revealed Himself to me through the Word of God, through the gospel of the Word of God that was preached, and I was gloriously saved just like she was. Now, in the book of John, chapter 5, in the Gospel of John, chapter 5. Let us notice verse 24. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that heareth my word and believeth on him that sent me hath everlasting life. Now, don't make this verse any harder. Don't try to make it harder. Now that's simple, isn't it? Now notice it. Verily, verily, or surely, surely, I say unto you, he that heareth my word, you got to hear it. You got to hear the gospel. There's going to be come a time in your life when you really hear it. I mean, you really hear it. And you hear it and you believe. And there comes a time when you do that. You believe with all your heart. You believe on Him that sent me. You have everlasting life. And shall not come into condemnation, but is passed from death unto life. You have the past, present, and future there. And so you're here tonight lost without Christ. You've heard the Word of God. You've heard about Jesus Christ. Do you believe it? Do you believe it? Do you believe with all your heart that Jesus Christ came into this world, born of a virgin, lived here upon this earth, went to the cross of Calvary, bled and suffered and died there, and was buried and arose again the third day? Do you believe that? Now you've heard it. That's the gospel. How did Christ die? How did He was buried? How did He arose again the third day? That's the gospel. Do you believe that? If you can believe that, you can be saved. You can be saved right now, and you can know that you have eternal life right now, right where you sit. That's salvation. Coming forward is not salvation. Coming forward and praying and so on is not salvation. Coming forward and talking to the preacher and reading Scripture and so on, that's not salvation. And so He uses His Word to save individuals. He uses His Word to open hearts. He uses the Word. And I believe that's the only method that He does use to open hearts. And then she attended unto the things that the God called man preached to her. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing of the Word of God. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing of the Word of God. Do you see that's all of God? That's all of the Lord. He grants you the faith. He grants you the repentance. He grants you the faith. He grants you the trust. And I believe it's instantaneous. Bang, just like that. When I was saved, I looked back at that, and it was all there. The repentance was there. The faith was there. The trust was there. Everything was needed there for me to be saved. Now, which came first, I don't know. I believe it was bang, it was there. And I believed with all of my heart for the first time in my life that Jesus Christ died for me and was buried and arose again the third day. Now, I went for several years up till I was 24 years old. Went to church several times when I was a kid. Went regular. I got pins and everything else for faithful attendance. But I was not saved. I went forward. I cried, and they would beat on me and slap me on the back and cry and so on and that never did the job. But I did cry and I sobbed and I did all of that. And the day I was saved, I cried. And it was a very emotional experience to me, the day that the Lord saved me. But it doesn't have to necessarily be so with you. And that may not happen to you that way. But I was gloriously saved. But it wasn't until I believed with all of my heart that Jesus Christ died on the cross of Calvary for me personally. And that's when I was saved, just like Lydia was. When the Lord opened my heart to where I could believe, where I could see that and believe that with all of my heart. Just like she did. But the Lord opened the heart, and then I attended unto the things of the Lord. Now, I'd like for you to notice here, back here in the book of Acts again, in Acts chapter 8. And of course, the book of Acts is full of this. In Acts chapter 8. All right, let's read a few verses here in verse 26. And the angel of the Lord spake unto Philip, saying, Arise and go toward the south unto the way that goeth down from Jerusalem unto Gaza, which is desert. And he arose and he went. Now, he did that because God did something in him. Y'all see that? And that's what I'm trying to emphasize. Tonight after we're saved, the Lord works in us, and we will want to do some things for the Lord. Because we love the Lord. Because we have a desire that He has put in our heart to want to live for Him and want to serve Him. And he arose and went. And behold, a man of Ethiopia, a eunuch of great authority, under Candace, queen of the Ethiopians, who had the charge of all her treasure, and had come to Jerusalem for to worship, was returning and sitting in his chariot, read Isaiah the prophet. Then the Spirit said, underline that, unto Philip, Go near and join thyself to this chariot. And Philip ran. All right? The Spirit said, and Philip ran. Y'all see that? Ran hither to him. And heard him read the prophet Isaiah and said, Understandest thou what thou readest? And he said, How can I, except some man should guide me? And he desired Philip. Now notice that. You see the working of the Lord here? The working of the Holy Spirit. And he desired Philip that he would come up and sit with him. When I was saved, I desired to hear the Word of God. I desired to hear a preacher. I used to try to avoid them. Didn't want to be around them. But the day the Lord saved me, I wanted to be around the preacher. I wanted to hear the Word of God. And so he said, how can I accept some man guide me? And he desired Philip that he would come up and sit with him. And the place of the scripture which he read was this: he was led as a sheep to the slaughter, and like a lamb dumb before his shear, so opened he not his mouth. And in his humiliation, his judgment was taken away. And who shall declare his generation? For his life is taken from the earth. And the eunuch answered Philip and said, I pray thee, of whom speaketh the prophet this? Of himself or of some other man? Then Philip opened his mouth and began at the same scriptures and preached unto him Jesus. That's what's necessary. That's what's needed. And that's what's needed from the mouth of every single one of us that's saved by the grace of God every day that we live. Is the gospel ought to be on our lips. We ought to be willing to talk to people every day as the Lord opens up opportunity for us to do so and preach unto them Jesus. That's all. Just tell them what Jesus did for you. Just tell them how you were saved. If it was good enough to get you saved, it's also good enough to win them to the Lord. However you want to state it. And as they went on their way, they came unto a certain water. And the eunuch said, see, here's water. What doth hinder me to be baptized? And Philip said, if thou believest. There we have the word again. If thou believest with all thine heart, thou mayest. Believe what? Believe about the preaching of Jesus. That's what he's preaching. He preached unto him Jesus. I believe he preached to him about his death. Preached to him about the burial and the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. And Philip said, if thou believest with all thine heart, thou mayest. And he answered and said, I believe that Jesus is the Son of God. And he commanded the chariot to stand still, and they went both down into the water, both Philip and the eunuch, and he sprinkled him. Now, I didn't say that, did it? And he baptized him. And so, I want you to notice here that he said in verse 37, if thou believest with all thine heart, thou mayest. And he answered and said, I believe that Jesus is the Son of God. He was gloriously saved by the grace of God, and the very next thing that he desired to do was to be baptized. And he followed the Lord in scriptural baptism. Say, well, there's works there. No, there was works there after he was saved. He desired to obey the Lord in the very first thing that he commands us to obey him in, and that was to be baptized. And he baptized him. And when they were come up out of the water, the Spirit of the Lord caught away Philip. And that means, the word caught away means an action by power in the Greek. An action by power. And so he says, and when they were come up out of the water, the Spirit of the Lord caught him away. Action by power. By the power of the Lord. The power of the Holy Spirit. That the eunuch saw him no more, and he went on his way rejoicing. The greatest time of rejoicing in your life is when the Lord saves you by the grace of God. That was the greatest time of rejoicing in my life, was the day that the Lord saved me by the grace of God. You know, I'm 60 years old, and there's a lot of things that I have forgotten. And I'm sure there's going to be a whole lot more things that I'm going to forget. But so far, I have not forgotten the day that the Lord saved me and how I felt the day that the Lord saved me by the grace of God. And I've been in hospitals with people that were delirious and so on and didn't hardly know anything, but they would be praying. Or they would be quoting scripture. Or they'd be talking about the Lord. But they couldn't talk about other things. Couldn't even tell the doctor how they were feeling, how they were hurting, or anything else. But they were rejoicing in the Lord. And so I believe here, as he went on his way, he went on his way rejoicing. And there's another evidence of salvation. When you're saved by the grace of God, you will go on your way rejoicing. The Lord changes you. He does something not only for you, but he does something in you. And that rejoicing is not something that you can work up within yourself. This was not something that they worked up. But he was happy and rejoicing, first of all, because he was saved by the grace of God, and second of all, because he followed the Lord in baptism. Just simply obeying the Lord and what the Lord would have him to do. Now, let's notice, I've already made this point. We notice what the eunuch had to do. He had to be baptized. He had to be baptized, and that he did. You know, Paul had a similar experience in the book of Acts, chapter 9. Look at Acts chapter 9 and verse 17. And Ananias went his way and entered into the house and putting his hands on him said, Brother, circle that word brother. Very important word in these verses. Brother Saul, the Lord even Jesus that appeared unto thee in the way as thou camest hath sent me that thou mayest receive thy sight and be filled with the Holy Ghost. And immediately there fell from his eyes as it had been scales, and he received sight forthwith and arose and was baptized. This is the perfect scripture and the only scripture that you have to read to a Camelite and show them that he was a brother before he was baptized. They have no argument for that. He was already saved. But after he was saved, immediately he desired to follow the Lord in baptism. Don't make this thing a hard, difficult thing. Now, there, in the book of Jeremiah, turn back here with me to Jeremiah chapter 20. Now, there was something that Jeremiah had to do. What do you have to do tonight? Now that this revival's all over, we're all revived, what does the Lord want you to do? We've seen here so far in these different ones we've already mentioned, there were some things that they did. What does the Lord want you to do? Look here in Jeremiah chapter 20. Jeremiah chapter 20. Let us look at verse 8 and 9. For since I spake, I cried out, I cried violence and spoil, because the word of the Lord was made a reproach unto me and a derision daily. Then I said, I will not make mention of him, nor speak any more in his name. But God butted in. But His word was in my heart as a burning fire shut up in my bones, and I was weary with forbearing, and I could not stay. And so we see that there was something here that Jeremiah had to do. He had to keep on preaching. He had to keep on preaching. He had to preach. He couldn't stop. A preacher that can stop preaching, the sooner he stops, the better off everybody he'll be and everybody else will be. If he can stop. But Jeremiah, it was in his bones, he could not stop. He had to preach. And I believe every God-called preacher that is called to preach will preach. If he has to preach to a light pole, I believe he'll preach. I believe Paul was the same way. And in fact, turn back, keep your finger here in the book of Acts, because we're going to be going back there. In the book of Acts, chapter 22. Acts chapter 22. And verse 15, we see here in these verses, on verses 6 all the way down to verse 15, we see where he was saved, when he was saved, and how he was saved. And then he goes down to verse 15, tells why he was saved. And thou shalt be his witnesses unto me, unto all men, of what thou hast seen and heard. And so we see that immediately after he was saved, God had something for him to do. And he was a preacher to the Gentiles. But God had dealt with him I don't know how long before. But we do see it coming out here. That he desired to want to be a witness. And I believe everybody that is saved by the grace of God will desire to be a witness. Brother Gary Phillips travels 12,000 miles to preach. Leave this country. Go to another country, 1,200 miles away, to preach the gospel to those Australians. Brother Jeff Lawrence is getting ready to do the very same thing, preparing at the present to go to Australia, to go over there and to preach the gospel. Go 1,200 miles, and we can't even walk 1 mile. To talk to somebody about the gospel. There's something wrong. And we can send $250,000 or $500,000 to foreign mission work and not even utter a word here in our own country, in our own neighborhood, in our own cities, and talk to people about their soul. There's something wrong. Isn't there? Now, you all are the only one that can answer that, and I can only answer that for myself. How much witnessing do we do? So Jeremiah had to preach. And the Lord's done something for you, and he's done something in you. You're going to have a hard time keeping that in. You won't be able to keep it in long. It's going to come out. You're going to want to talk to somebody about the Lord. Now, I'd like for you to turn back here to the book of Jonah. The book of Jonah. It's on page 943 in the Schofield Bible. And I already had it marked, so I know where it's at. I want you to notice in verse 1. We want to notice here concerning Jonah. Jonah had to go to Nineveh. Jonah had to go to Nineveh. Now the word of the Lord came unto Jonah, the son of Amittai, saying, arise and go to Nineveh, that great city, and cry against it. For their wickedness is come up before me. Arise and go to that wicked place. Wicked place. Arise and go to Nineveh. and cry against it. We all know the story about Jonah. Jonah continued to go down, 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 down. And after he hit rock bottom, in chapter 2 and verse 1, then Jonah prayed unto the Lord his God out of the fish's belly. So he kept going down, down, down. And when he hit rock bottom, what did he start doing? Started praying. Huh? And that's the way we do sometimes. Biggest part of the time. I mean, that's when we really get down to business. When we hit rock bottom. And after he prayed, and he got right with the Lord answered his prayer. And a lot of times, that's what we've got to do. What do you have to do? What do you have to do tonight? Do you need to get right with the Lord? That the Lord will answer your prayers? And then in chapter 3, we notice the difference here in this second call. After he hit the ground, when he come out of the fish's belly, what did he do? He went to preaching. Didn't he? So after he got out of the Whale University, he was pretty well educated. And a lot of times we are too. When we have to go through Whale University like he went through, he came out of Whale University, and when he came out preaching. Now that second call was a little bit different than the first call, wasn't it? He was ready, that second call. Lord didn't have to speak too loud, he was ready to go. And I believe that we're the same way. But we don't have to go through the things that Jonah went through. We just simply need to be obedient. Now if Jonah would have just obeyed the Lord the first time when he told him to arise and go to Nineveh and cry out against that city, if he had just went ahead and done that, he'd been fine. He wouldn't have had to go through all those experiences that he went through in the whale's belly. Would he? And there's a lot of things that we don't have to go through if we'll listen to the Lord, be obedient to the Lord, and do what the Lord would have us to do. We wouldn't have to go through that either. And then the Gadarene in the book of Luke. Turn over here to the book of Luke. Let's notice chapter 8. I want to read one verse there. Notice verse 39. Return to thine own house and show how great things God hath done unto thee. And he went his way, published throughout the whole city how great things Jesus had done unto him. That's what the Gadarean had to do. What does the Lord want you to do? He had to go witness. He had to go back and tell people what the Lord had done for him. Can you imagine what the people thought about this fellow? This guy dwelled amongst the tombs. Walking around naked. Now we see him clothed and in his right mind and talking to people about Jesus. Isn't that right? You all read the context of that scripture there. I can't understand these Christians that say they're saved by the grace of God and want to take their clothes off after they're saved. And run around in their bathing suits and their shorts and everything. I can't understand that. I really can't. This fellow didn't take his clothes off. He put clothes on. And I believe that's there. Y'all see that teaching there? I believe separation there. He desired to be separated unto the Lord, and he desired to want to live right and dress right and talk right and live right. And I believe everybody saved by the grace of God desired that. Illustration after illustration I could give you tonight. And so he had to witness of the grace of God. What does God want you to do? I want to use one other passage here in the book of Acts. Acts chapter 15. Acts chapter 15. And we'll notice one thing here that Paul had to do. 15 in verse 36. And some days after, Paul said unto Barnabas, let us go again and visit our brethren in every city where we have preached the word of the Lord and see how they do. That's what Paul had to do. He had to return and go back and visit these missions and visit the churches and see how they do. And Barnabas determined to take with him John, whose surname was Mark. Now they're back in fellowship. But Paul thought not good to take him with them, who departed from them from Pamphylia, and went not with them to the work. And the contention was so sharp between them that they departed asunder, one from the other, and to Barnabas. And so Barnabas took Mark, and sailed unto Cyprus. Now that wasn't when he got right later on. John Mark got right later on. And then Paul was able to use him. But I thought that was a scripture. Got ahead of myself. And Paul chose Silas and departed, being recommended. Now notice. And being recommended by the brethren unto the grace of God. And he went through Syria and Cilicia, confirming the churches. And so Paul chose Silas and departed, being recommended by the brethren unto the grace of God. Now we have another passage of Scripture in Acts 18, 27. Acts 18 and 27. And when he was disposed to pass into Achaia, the brethren wrote, exhorting the disciples to receive him. Now do y'all see here the Scripture and the truth that we have concerning granting and receiving letters of recommendation? Both those passages, one that we just read and this one here, put down letters of recommendation, because that's where we get letters of recommendation. We write for another church, and that church recommends that person that's coming from that church to us. You all wrote to Wasion about Brenda and I. And then they sent a letter back stating that we were in good fellowship with that church, that everything was all right, and you all could receive us. That's not something that Southern Baptist started. That was practiced back here during the early churches. And so Paul had to check on the brethren to see how they do. The church in Wasion wanted us to go to Peru, South America. We were supporting Brother Bergman, and they sent us there to Peru to see how they do. And that's what we did. And I recommend that to every God-called pastor there is, to go to the foreign mission field at least one time to see how they do. And so what would the Lord have you to do? And the question comes to each one of us. We see here several. I could give you some more illustrations, but I believe this is sufficient tonight. What does the Lord want you to do? What does he want you to do? And maybe you've deep down in your heart, you feel where you've fallen short, that you're going to correct that right now. And you're going to start doing what the Lord would have you to do. It may be to a more dedicated prayer life. It may be to more dedicated Bible reading. It may be to more faithful service in the Lord's church. It may be a call to the ministry. I don't know. It may be called to salvation. But only you can determine that. But we did give you several illustrations tonight of those, after the Lord is saved, had something for them to do.